Listen this morning for God's word to you. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but seven times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. It's hard to believe this is the 10th anniversary of the tragic event that we now know simply as 9/11. On September 11th, 2011, 19 members of a terrorist group named Al-Qaeda hijacked four commercial jet airliners. The hijackers intentionally crashed two of the airliners into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, killing all people aboard. Both buildings collapsed within 2 hours, destroying the buildings and nearby buildings that collapsed, killing nearly 3,000 persons. The hijackers crashed a third airline into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. The fourth plane crashed into a field near Shanksville in rural Pennsylvania. After some of the passengers and flight crew attempted to retake control of the plane, which the hijackers were directing, they believe, towards Washington to target the White House. There were no survivors from any of the flights. Many of you were glued to your television screens and saw the collapse, as I did, of the World Trade Centers as it happened. It is a sight many of you will never, ever forget as long as you live. This is a day that is very difficult for the citizens of our country. Not only were 3,000 precious lives lost on that horrific day, but the principal perpetrator of that crime, Osama bin Laden, evaded capture or death for almost 10 years. Anytime there's a horrible crime, there's a wound that will not heal until the guilty person stands before a judge and is convicted of that crime or is killed in battle. I am thankful that this has come with some sense of closure for the American people. As one angry citizen said, it is up to God to forgive Osama bin Laden. It is the Army's job to arrange a face-to-face meeting. Perhaps even more horrifying, included among 3,000 victims were 836 responders, firefighters, and police personnel who had come to rescue people from the terrorist attacks. The overwhelming majority of these casualties in all four attacks were civilians, including nationals from 70 different countries. There were many, many stories of incredible courage. We've heard them over and over again that came out of this tragic event. One of them that we know very well is a touching story of Jeremy Glick, a passenger on Flight 93. Jeremy was a sales and marketing manager of a hot internet company. A former national collegiate judo champion, could handle himself. He was recently married. Proud father of a beautiful 3-month-old little girl. He didn't want to go on flight 93. It was the first business trip he was going to have to go on in months. Since the birth of his daughter, Emmy, he had been reluctant to leave home. However, there was a business meeting he really needed to attend, and his wife, Elizabeth, kept saying, "You need to go on this meeting. We will be okay." Jeremy planned to fly out on the previous day, the day before the attacks, but he got stuck in traffic in Newark, on his way to the Newark airport. So he had to reschedule for the next day. Not long after the flight was underway, Jeremy called Elizabeth on his cell phone to report that 5 hijackers had taken over the plane. She was able to tell him about the plane crashes into the World Trade Center and later into the Pentagon. Jeremy and several other passengers on that flight determined that they themselves had to do something. We presume that the passengers managed to carry out the attack because this plane did not make it to Washington. It crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. They gave their lives to stop it when they could have just sat back and done nothing. But I'm impressed with what Jeremy told Liz during those 20 minutes that they were on the phone together. Interviewed on Dateline, Elizabeth Glick said she shared the essence of her conversation with her husband. "We said, 'I love you' 1,000 times over and over again as it was brought so much peace to us. He told me, 'I love you, Emmy,' who is our daughter, and for me to take care of her. Then he said, 'Whatever decisions you make in your life, I need you to be happy. And I will respect any decision that you make.' That's what he said, and that gives me the most comfort." He didn't sound panicked, very clear-headed. He told me to put a picture of me and Emmy in his head and to be strong. A widow at 31, Liz says she's not angry and she really has no regrets. Said, "I don't feel like there are things left undone with my relationship with Jeremy. We did it all, and I don't feel like I've left anything unsaid to him, and I don't feel like he's left anything unsaid to me. I don't think many people who are so young can say that. I said it's a difficult day for our country. September the 11th is particularly difficult for us as Christians. It's either ironic or providential, depending on your theology, that our lesson from the gospel for this day begins like this," because I just didn't haphazardly pick out a scripture. This is the lectionary passage for the day. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 7 times, 70 times 7. When it comes to 9/11, forgiveness is the last thing that Americans want to do. The day after September the 11th, Bishop William Willimon of Duke saw a couple being interviewed on the news. They were standing on the street before around the wreckage of Ground Zero. They were standing on the street in great grief. Their daughter had been killed when those planes had attacked. The reporter stammering to them, trying to talk to them, knowing the grief that he saw on their faces and that they must have felt deep in their hearts, says, 'Well, I know that you'll be able to go to your place of worship this weekend and maybe find some consolation in your faith.' And the grieving mother replied, 'No, we'll not be going to our place of worship this weekend, because we're Christians and we know that Jesus commands about forgiveness. And frankly, We're just not ready to forgive. It'll be some time before we want to be with Jesus again. We can sympathize with that mother because Jesus tells us to forgive our enemies. Of course, being human, the people who are responsible for this crime are the last people that we want to forgive. There's an epitaph in a cemetery in Atlanta of a woman who inscribed on a tomb of her adulterous husband, the epitaph said, "Gone, but not forgiven." C.S. Lewis made an important distinction between excusing and forgiving. He said, "If someone jostles me accidentally and I drop my books, I excuse that. It didn't hurt that much, and it was unintentional. But if a person does something to injure me or my family and hurt will go on hurting for years, I can't excuse it. I only have the option of forgiving or not forgiving." And not forgiving, forgiveness is not easy, and yet not forgiving can take a greater toll than forgiving ever would in our lives as individuals or as a church or as a nation. David Zernin, writing on the internet, tells about a movie star that some of you may have seen, The Upside of Anger, starring Joan Allen and Kevin Costner. Joan Allen plays the role of Terry, an angry, alcoholic housewife with four daughters. She's angry because her husband has run off with a secretary to Sweden and left her and the daughters alone. As the plot unfolds, the viewer becomes involved in her relationship with her four daughters. These relationships are all complicated and dysfunctional because of the rage that Terry holds against her former husband. She takes some satisfaction in finally having at least some of her daughters make the statement, "I hate my father too." The story gets more complicated as Terry becomes involved with Denny, a neighbor next door, and finally moves in with her and the girls who experience the brunt of Terry's anger in the relationship as she's been jilted by her husband. At the end of the movie, Denny is exploring the acreage in the back of the house for a new subdivision that is going to be built. And he accidentally stumbles over an old well. And as they look inside the well, what do they find? The body of the husband. He'd been out walking the dog and had fallen into the well and had died. He had not run off with the secretary to Sweden at all. So the infidelity never happened except in Terry's mind. But because she imagined that it did happen, Terry lived with immense feelings of abandonment. She lived a life of alcoholism and jealous rage, of violent anger, and she almost ruined the lives of those who were around her, closest to her, that loved her. And it's a sad, sad story. And even if her husband had betrayed her and had run off with the secretary, it would have been better for her to have forgiven him than to bring all this rage and anger and alcoholism into the house and taint her daughters and her friends and even the new boyfriend that moved in. Kenneth Hart, a psychology professor at the University of Windsor in Ontario, studied 63 recovering alcoholics, and the individuals had one thing in common. They were all angry with someone. He said, "Teaching forgiveness is the one way to break the cycle that causes recovering alcoholics to recover or to relapse. If they release their anger through forgiveness, they no longer have a reason to use alcohol as an escape." And you can tie this and say drugs. One of the former addicts said, "Forgiveness is more for yourself than for the person that you are forgiving." For me, forgiving the person sets me free. I wonder how many of us in this room today need to forgive someone or even groups of people to be set free, to truly live our lives without mental torture. Forgiveness is not easy. Ask God. Forgiveness is what the cross of Christ is all about on Golgotha. God forgave the sins of the world through the suffering of His Son. The forgiveness we grant others is built on what God has done for each and every one of us. After Jesus tells Peter to forgive his brother 70 times 7, he tells a fascinating parable that I read to you. There's one servant who owes the king a massive amount of money, which amounts to about the equivalent of 10,000 bags of gold. And we're talking a large sum of money here. So the servant is not able to repay the money. The king orders that the servant and his wife and children, everything be sold to repay the money. But the servant begs, "I will repay." And the servant is so, the king is so taken by this, he says, "I tell you what, I'm not just going to put you on a payment plan. I'm going to wipe away your debt. Totally wiped away. You are forgiven. You owe me nothing." And the servant runs right out being thankful. And what does he do? He grabs somebody that owes him some money. About 100 silver coins. Nothing compared to what he owed the king. And he takes him and he punishes him. And then people go back to the king. "You know the man that you just set free that owed you all this money? You know what he did? He wouldn't forgive this man who owed him a little bit of money." So the king goes and grabs him and has him punished and tortured. This is one of the teachings of our faith that separates us from all the other faiths. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. We're even to forgive our enemies. Oh man, that's a tough one. It's not easy. It's the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. The hardest thing. Why? Why do we forgive? Because God has forgiven us. God gave His only Son in order that we might be forgiven. We in turn are to forgive those who have transgressed against us. Do you see why I say that September the 11th is a hard day for the nation of the United States of America? Because even though we're at war with terrorists, we still have to find a way to forgive. And how do we do that? How do we reconcile it? Because forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness cost God His only Son. Forgiveness is only possible by God's grace. If someone has hurt you, deeply hurt you, forgiveness is possible only if you offer that hurt to God. You cannot do it in your own means. It may be that there are circumstances where forgiveness is not humanly possible. One theologian put it this way: we who follow Christ are always being commanded to do things we cannot do. We're commanded to love those who are not even lovable. We're called to serve without counting the cost. Think about that. Even to give your life, if necessary, for the cost of Christ. But the hardest commandment is the commandment to forgive. We are to do it not because it is humanly possible, but because as we try to do what God commands us to do, the ability to do it is given to us by the God who is full of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. We forgive because of the immensity of God's forgiveness in our behalf, because we have all sinned against God. And as long as we are on this earth, we will continue to sin against our Heavenly Father. Even with the salvation of Christ within us, we will transgress against God. So this is a difficult day, and this is a difficult commandment. And what it requires of us is nothing less than a new heart of God's love. And I hope that this day you can ask God for that new heart. May God bless you. Amen.